Good evening, everyone. Do you ever go to a church service and you're minding your own business and you're there for the service and somebody says, turn to the person behind you or beside you and give them a hug? I wasn't prepared for that. I brought a boxer friend of mine here last year, and he sat at the back. And somebody up here says, turn to the person beside you and give them a hug. And he went, I'll shake your hand, but I'm not hugging you. We're a strange bunch. Turn to the person beside you and say, Shalom. That was easy, wasn't it? That word shalom, tonight we're going to unpack it, hopefully. I was given the task of doing this, and I went up to Norman's house for a bucket of water, and he says, what are you preaching on? And I said, John 14. He says, oh good, what part? I don't know. But as I read it, the word peace came out, and I don't always say what I know, but I like to know what I say. If you're ever in a prayer couplet or a prayer quarter with me and you say a big word, I'll stop you and I'll ask you, what do you mean? What happened was, my mother was in hospital about 25 years ago, and the surgeon said to her, or said to my oldest brother, who's very educated, what happened? He says, well, she was very nauseous and, you know, and whatnot. And the doctor stopped him and says, could you tell me what you mean by nauseous? Because your definition and my definition could be completely different. And they were. And that put a desire in me to find out, that's what sparked, what do words mean? So this evening we're going to look at a piece of scripture. And more importantly, the word peace. And I'm so prepared. I don't have an eye. So if you could turn to me to John 14, which is on page 1082 in your few Bibles, where it is. And we'll start at verse 25. This is the word of God. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak much longer with you, for the Prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded. Come now, let us leave. May God bless the scripture to our hearts. As I read that piece of scripture, I seen the word peace. And I wanted to know what the word peace meant. What did it mean then? And what does it mean today now? What does it mean now when Jesus gave it as a gift to his disciples? Jewish people would open and close most meetings with a benediction. Shalom. Benediction means blessing. As we unpack this word this evening, hopefully it'll enrich your lives. It'll help your walk with Jesus. and it'll enrich your studying of the Bible. So what is the peace of the world? Look at what Jesus says here in verse 27. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus said he doesn't give as the world gives. And what a curious thing to say. It's the rest of the verse that ties this statement together. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus has no earthly riches to give, but he has a heavenly one. And it's a gift of himself that he's given. See, back then, there was peace. There was peace in Jerusalem, in Israel. There was peace in the Roman Empire. It was called Pax Romana. It was a Roman peace. It lasted for about 400 years. However, it was an enforced peace. The people of Jerusalem would have remembered that about 4 BC there was 2,000 Jews put to death and crucified along the road. Anybody who threatened Pax Romana was stamped out really quickly and with the full heavy hand of Rome. So there was peace. It was Roman peace. People would be stopped in the marketplace by Romans and disrobed and laughed at. They would laugh at the circumcised man. They were forced to build a mile of the road, taken away from their families. If they disagreed or fought against it, they were put to death, for they threatened Pax Romana. There was peace. It was the peace of the world at the time. It was peace, as I said, on Rome's terms. But in their hearts they were still troubled. In their hearts there was turmoil. Lack of hostilities does not mean peace. When we turn on our electronic devices, we read and we watch of peace accords going on around the world. But if you look carefully what they're saying, their quest is a lack of violence. In our own country, here, we have a peace process. Many of us are enjoying the peace process. Many of us enjoy the fact that we're not killing each other anymore. But that's where it stops. In my limited experience, our wee country has become more sectarian and certainly more racist in this last lot of years. We have peace, but it's a lack of violence. It's a lack of war in some people's minds. And in our lives, we stray from moments of peace. We go on retreats. We go on weekends away. We go to gurus. We go to all sorts of spiritual places and do spiritual positions to achieve this thing called peace. We even say to people here, will you give my head peace? But when we come back from our retreats and our weekends away and our spiritual gurus and we turn off our music from our spiritual positions, we're back in normality. The pressures of the world come back in. The fears of the world flood back in. And the mayhem begins again. It's not peace many of us seek, because we don't know what it is. Most of us just seek a respite from the mayhem. So what is the peace of Christ? The peace Jesus offers is not just a cessation of violence, nor is it a mere fleeting moment of serenity. The peace Jesus offers is not of the world. It's from God the Father. From God the Son. And from God the Spirit. The word peace, as we use it today, has very little depth or feeling to it. The essence of the word peace has been diluted over the years. Peace means nothing. Most of the scriptures we read are from Greek translations. And the Greek translation for the word peace is a word I cannot pronounce. But it means lack of hostilities, lack of violence, lack of war. But they got that translation from the Old Testament word shalom. And it is this word shalom that is full of flavor, it's full of essence, means so much. It is the word shalom that has so much meaning to it. It's so hard to describe. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, gets really close when he says, shalom is a precious word to the Jewish people. It means much more than just the absence of war or distress. Shalom means wholeness, completeness, health, security, even prosperity and the best nature. When you're enjoying God's peace, there is a joy and contentment. But God's peace is not like the world offers. Peace is based on relationships. The better the relationship, the greater the peace. Our moderator has a way to see the Pope. Well, he's going to meet him anyway. He's going to be there to build up relationships for a greater peace. And when we have strong relationships, we have a stronger peace. It's only when we build our relationship with God can we find the peace of God. Many of us are looking zapped. But that's fleeting. Do you know God? Are you in a relationship with Jesus? Are you questing with the Holy Spirit? Or are we just bumbling through life? Jesus said to his disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And this evening in this place, Jesus is saying to you, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Build your relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Gain your way to the Father. This peace with the Father also came at a price. It came at a price of one bearing all our sins for us. So how do we maintain this peace in the adversity of life? Jesus told his disciples trouble was coming. We also know in our lives trouble looms. In verse 30, Jesus tells how the prince of the world is coming. Jesus is not troubled by this. Jesus has already overcome the world and Satan when he was in the desert. He was tempted by the world and he was tempted by Satan. Jesus didn't give in. The prince of the world, the accuser, Satan, has no hold on Jesus. Jesus' relationship with the Father was so right and so tight that nothing could shake him. When Jesus said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, he knew what he was talking about. Because he is wholeness. He is completeness. He is health. He is even prosperity in the best sense. Jesus is everything that our spirit longs for. Although rarely do we search for him to fulfill our lives. But to maintain this state of shalom is a different matter. To maintain the peace of Christ, we must reject the world. We must reject its prince. We must reject its teachings. We are in the world, but not of the world. And carefully, don't get arrogant with that statement. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are to be separate from the world. Many of us have the shalom peace within us. However, we have allowed the world and its troubles to smother it. We accept what the world has to offer. We forget the strength and the power and the majesty of Jesus in our lives. We lower ourselves to the sovereignty of the world. Our pride talks us into doing things that we do or don't want to do. Keith mentioned this the other week. Norman mentioned about being separate from the world last week. I know it might be all right for me to stand up here and pontificate about not being off the world and in the world, and you know, when you're in your workplace, you know, you have to be a firm Christian and you must stand up. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be in the workplace and be the Christian. I know what it's like to be the one that everybody's watching. I know what it's like to accept what the world has to offer and days and work instead of accepting what Christ offered me. I know what it's like to be the person people could point at and say, "Him, a Christian? Are you serious?" I know what that's like. It's hard. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy because in the past I have allowed Satan to have toeholds in my life. It's not easy because in the past I have done things that have opened the doors and let people in so the accuser can point the finger at me. It's not easy because I didn't stand with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, through God the Father, and his peace. I lowered my standards and I accepted the sovereignty of the world. And I know what it's like to try and climb back out of that hole. Jesus warned. The prince of the world is coming. He has no toehold in me. How do you prevent things from being a stronghold? Don't give them a foothold. We're going to have to start being honest with ourselves and each other. We're going to have to stop playing games. This is eternity we're talking about. This is our souls we're talking about. If you don't believe what this says, go home. This is our lives. In the first century Christianity, it was madness. It was absolutely mayhem. But during the course of time, there was something about the believers of Christ that set them apart from society. There was something about how they behaved. They weren't revolutionaries stomping in street corners. They were getting put to death. But there was no fear. Their hearts weren't troubled. Keith talked today about Polycarp. Haven't heard from him in Bible college. I think they burnt him at the stake. He went joyfully. He knew in his heart where he was going. He had no fear of the world. He was at peace within himself. Many recovery programs, and I've been in a few, would have this, a thing called a serenity prayer. And it goes like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now that bit of a prayer has been taken out of a letter that was written to a newspaper in America years ago. It's only a wee snippet. But what it's saying is, God, creator of the universe and everything in it, grant me the serenity, the peace of mind, to accept the things I cannot change. I cannot change you, but I can change me. Courage to change the things I can. It takes courage to change, and the wisdom to know the difference. When we fall, when our hearts are troubled, when we let worries into our life, it's because we've accepted them. Most times we say, Father, I'm not going to listen to you right now. I'm not going to listen to this person here. We accept the troubles into our lives. We've been set free, but we've accepted them in. In prayer ministry, when I'd done that, Derek McKelvey said this, anything from God will set you free. Anything from the devil will bind you up. So, if you pray, why worry? And if you worry, why pray? The world cannot trouble us. The world cannot put fear in us. These troubles and these fears are our own, are ours when we accept them. When we stick close to God, building and maintaining our right relationship with Him, the accuser can no longer point his finger at us. For there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. All doubt will leave you. The Holy Spirit will dwell in you. And then you'll start accepting the world again, and the process will start all over. R.T. Kendall told me a story once. I've told it to many people. It's about the time he went to Jerusalem. And he was at the Wailing Wall. And he seen a dove. He said, oh, it's a dove, it's a sign of the Holy Spirit. And the tour guide said, no, mate, that's a pigeon. But there was two missionaries who were living out there. And they had a dove that lived in the eaves of their house. And every time they had an argument or they slammed the door, the dove would fly away. So they thought, look, we're going to have to get rid of this dove. Because we have to live really peacefully and quietly. Because it can't keep flying away. We have to get rid of it. And then they come up with a decision, no. I think we'll have to learn to live in such a way that the dove stays. Find your peace. God is bigger. God is bigger. God is bigger. Your worries are your worries. Your pains are your pains. God is bigger. It's easy for me to stand up here and say that. But I am not immune. I have had pains and I go through pains. God is bigger. Sometimes it takes me a while to get there. We have seen how Jesus in his final hours took the time to prepare his disciples. That's when Jesus was preparing these people. He knew he was on the way to the cross. He knew his temptations, his interrogations, and his beatings were about to start. But he took the time to prepare the disciples instead for what was coming. wasn't wrapped up in himself. He was wrapped up in others. He promised them he would not leave them alone. He promised them the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came and was sent by the Father in Jesus' name. We looked at how the people of Israel knew of a peace, although it was an enforced one. Jesus wanted to set them free. With his shalom peace, we looked at how we can have Jesus in our lives, and yet we can still accept the worries of the world. We looked at how the prince of this world has not even a toehold in Jesus. And for us to do the same, we must first build the right relationship with him. There is hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. Turn to the person beside you and say shalom. Let us pray. Father, as we bow our heads here this evening, after looking into your word, may our hearts be refreshed and a deeper understanding of your greatness be enshrined in us. We all quest for peace. However, few of us truly knows what that is. The Bible, and indeed the world, is littered with stories of encounters with you and peace that washed over these people. This evening, here in this room, let us hold back no more. Let us not accept the troubles of this world as our own anymore. May we find peace and rest in you. Amen.